You are tuning into this because, well, you're the kind of person who doesn't just want the surface level headline. You know, you want to peel back the layers, understand the machinery underneath, and really make sense of complex topics without wading through some textbook full of jargon.
Right, exactly.
And we know your time is valuable. You want those real aha moments. So today, we're going to completely dismantle something you probably take for granted, like every time you walk up a flight of stairs.
It's something we all just ignore until it hurts.
Yeah, exactly. Think about the inside of your knee for a second. You probably imagine this pretty simple mechanical setup, like the suspension on a car.
Yeah, the classic shock absorber model.
Right. You've got the bone, you've got the cartilage acting as the shock absorber, and then there's this little bit of fat packed in there just kind of acting as passive padding. It's basically bubble wrap for your joints.
That's the image everyone has, yeah.
And for the longest time when things went wrong, you know, when you developed osteoarthritis, when the knees started aching and popping, we just assume the brake pads wore out. Just simple wear and tear.
Yeah, and it is a very mechanical, gravity-based way of looking at the human body. Mm-hmm. The cartilage grinds down over decades of use, the bones eventually rub together, and that physical friction causes pain.
Makes total sense on paper.
It does. It's a compelling story because it's so incredibly intuitive. Like, if you rub two stones together long enough, eventually they just wear down into dust.
But then you look at this fascinating 2026 paper from the journal Osteoarthritis and Cartilage, and that whole bubble wrap idea just gets thrown completely out the window.
Oh, entirely. It completely shatters that model.
The paper is titled, and get ready for this, From Fat to Flame, Multi-Omic Insights into How Adipose Joint Crosstalk Stokes the Fires of Osteoarthritis. So the mission of this deep dive today is to fundamentally change how you view the fat inside your knees.
We really need to shift away from this idea of passive padding.
Right. We need to realize that this fat is actually like an active biological engine.
Exactly. We are moving from a model of simple mechanical wear and tear to, honestly, a model of localized chemical warfare.
Chemical warfare. Wow.
Yeah, this paper presents incredibly thorough evidence that the tiny fat deposits located right inside your joint are not just sitting there absorbing impact. They're actively engaged in biological combat.
Okay, let's unpack this. If we are going to understand this chemical warfare, we first need to look at the battlefield, right?
Right. The location matters.
We need to understand the specific neighborhoods where this fat actually lives, because we aren't just talking about the fat you can, you know, pinch on your thigh, are we?
No, not at all. The researchers approach this by isolating very specific anatomical zip codes, so to speak. They took tissue samples from 6 osteoarthritis patients who were already undergoing total joint replacement surgery.
So these are people with severe late-stage joint issues.
Exactly. And the brilliance of the study design is the tissue comparison. For each single patient, they extracted 2 specific types of local joint fat.
Okay.
First, the infrapatellar fat pad, which is right behind your kneecap. Second, the subsynovial adipose tissue, which actually lines the inner capsule of the joint itself.
Got it. So 2 different fats actually inside the knee joint.
Right. And then they compared those 2 deep localized joint fats against the patient's own subcutaneous fat.
Subcutaneous fat being like the fat just right under the skin, literally inches away from the knee joint itself.
Yeah, exactly.
You could probably touch the skin over your knee and be millimeters away from it.
Right. So they used the patient's own body as the ultimate control. They ran all these tissues through bulk RNA sequencing.
Okay, and just briefly, that's reading the genes, right?
Yeah, it's a technology that essentially reads out the instruction manual of the cell at that exact moment. It tells us exactly which genes are actively turned on and which are turned off.
And what do they find?
Well, the sequencing revealed a completely different world inside the joint. Compared to the fat just under the skin, the fat behind the kneecap, that infrapatellar fat pad, had 649 differentially expressed genes.
Whoa!
Yeah. And the subsynovial fat lining the capsule was even more dramatic, with 263 differentially expressed genes.
Wait, let me push back on this for a second because my intuition tells me that fat is just fat.
That's what most people think, yeah.
Right. I mean, a fat cell is designed to store energy. Why would the fat inside the knee have a completely different genetic readout, literally hundreds of genes operating differently, than the fat just an inch away under the skin of the exact same patient?
What's fascinating here is how the data visually answers that exact question. The researchers utilized a statistical tool called a principal component analysis.
Okay.
Think of it as a way to group data points based purely on their similarities. When they plotted the genetic readouts of all these tissues, they didn't cluster together by the patient they belonged to.
Wait, really? So patient A's knee fat didn't look like patient A's skin fat?
Exactly. The tissues clustered entirely by their location in the body. And even more surprisingly, they completely ignored the patient's BMI.
Meaning, whether the patient was clinically obese, carrying a lot of extra weight, or completely average weight, it didn't change the fundamental genetic behavior of the fat inside the knee.
Not at all. The local environment of the inflamed joint overrode everything else. The joint fat had fundamentally reprogrammed itself to adapt to its immediate neighborhood.
That's wild.
Yeah. And when we look at the specific genetic pathways that were hyperactive, the joint fat was massively enriched for inflammation. But here's the nuance. The two different joint fats were inflamed in very different ways.
Oh, so they weren't even doing the same thing.
Right. The fat behind the kneecap, the infrapatellar pad, was heavily linked to the innate immune system and specifically to a process called phagosome formation.
Okay, phagosome formation. Whenever I hear words like that, my eyes start to glaze over. Can we ground that? What is a phagosome actually doing in the knee?
Sure, yeah. Think of a phagosome as like a temporary cellular stomach.
A cellular stomach?
Yeah. When a specialized immune cell encounters a large piece of debris, maybe a dead cell, maybe a fragment of shredded cartilage, it physically engulfs it.
Oh, like Pac-Man.
Exactly like Pac-Man. It wraps its membrane around the debris and pulls it inside to form this phagosome structure where it pumps in acid and enzymes to dissolve the trash.
Wow, okay.
So the fact that the fat pad is upregulating the genes to build these structures means it's behaving like a highly aggressive immune tissue. It is constantly trying to clear out debris and reacting to local damage.
So it's not bubble wrap. It's like a frontline defense bunker that's gone into overdrive trying to clean up a war zone.
That's a perfect way to look at it. Yeah. Meanwhile, the other joint fat, that subsynovial tissue lining the capsule, was intensely tied to the metabolism of cholesterol.
Cholesterol in the knee.
Yeah. Altered lipid profiles, specifically how fatty acids and cholesterols are stored and processed at a cellular level, play a massive role in modulating how inflamed a tissue gets.
Ah, I see.
If the fat cells are mishandling cholesterol, it creates a persistent, chronic inflammatory state that just never resolves.
Okay, so knowing that the genes in this joint fat are highly inflamed is the foundation. That's the instruction manual telling the fat cells what to do.
Right.
But a gene turned on inside a fat cell doesn't automatically mean the cartilage on the other side of the joint feels the impact. The Fab is in one place, the cartilage is in another. We need to look at what these active genes are actually putting out into the world.
Exactly. We have to move from the transcriptome, which is the genetic potential, to the secretome.
The secretome.
Yeah, the secretome is the actual physical collection of all the proteins, hormones, and chemical messengers that a tissue secretes out into its surrounding environment.
I like to think of this joint fat as a rogue radio station. It isn't just sitting quietly in its neighborhood. It has set up a massive broadcast tower, and it is aggressively pumping this loud inflammatory noise directly into the fluid that sloshes around inside the knee joint.
I love that analogy. And to intercept that specific broadcast, the researchers took the fat tissues from 16 different patients and kept them alive in a lab dish for 24 hours.
They just kept them alive outside the body.
Yeah, they basically let the fat steep like a tea bag. Then they collected the fluid the fat was bathing in, what they call adipose conditioned media. They ran this fluid through a highly advanced proteomics panel, the Olink panel, to screen for specific inflammatory markers.
And I'm guessing the radio station was playing heavy metal at maximum volume.
Oh, absolutely deafening. Out of all the proteins they screened, they found 22 different inflammatory biomarkers that were significantly elevated in the fluid coming from the joint fat compared to the fluid coming from the fat just under the skin.
22 biomarkers. What kind of signals are we talking about here?
Well, some of these were the classical markers we've long known drive joint destruction. Interleukin-6, for instance.
IL-6, yeah.
Yeah, IL-6 is a potent systemic alarm bell for the immune system, notorious for driving cartilage degradation. They also found high levels of TNF-alpha, TGF-beta-1, VGF-A, and leptin.
Wait, leptin? We usually think of leptin as the hormone that tells your brain you are full after a meal, right?
We do, but locally, inside a joint, leptin acts as a powerful pro-inflammatory cytokine. But The secretome data goes far beyond the usual suspects. They found significant elevations in markers like STAMBP, FLT3L, and CCL23.
Okay, let's slow down and define those, because a string of letters and numbers doesn't mean much to anyone outside a lab. What is FLT3L actually doing?
Right, sorry. FLT3L is a protein primarily involved in the survival and activation of dendritic cells.
Dendritic cells?
Dendritic cells are fascinating. They act as the intelligence gatherers of the immune system. They patrol the tissue, grab a sample of a foreign invader or damaged tissue, and then travel to the lymph nodes to present that mugshot to the rest of the immune system saying, attack this.
So finding the protein that activates these intelligence gatherers inside the knee joint implies that this isn't just, you know, a generic low-grade swelling from a bumped knee.
Exactly. It implies the fat is orchestrating a highly specific, targeted immune response. It is calling in the special forces. And that brings us to CCL23.
Okay, what's that one?
CCL23 is a chemokine. Chemokines are essentially chemical sirens. They create a scent trail that actively recruits other immune cells floating in your bloodstream, pulling them across the blood vessels and directly into the joint.
So the rogue radio station isn't just making noise, it's broadcasting recruitment ads to bring an entire army of immune cells into the knee.
That's exactly what's happening.
But an army needs a battlefield. And that brings us to the researchers' next big experiment, right? Testing how the actual physical cells of the joint react when they are forced to listen to this broadcast.
Yes. This is the investigation of cellular crosstalk. The researchers took that exact fluid secreted by the fat, the heavy metal broadcast, and they poured it directly onto primary human joint cells grown in a lab.
Which cells did they test?
They tested synovial fibroblasts, which are the cells that form the delicate lining of the joint capsule. They tested chondrocytes, which are the critical cells that build and maintain your cartilage. And they tested osteoblasts, the cells responsible for building your subchondral bone.
I noticed in the source material they also used myotubes, which are basically muscle cells, as a control.
Mm.
I imagine they did that to see if this fat fluid was just like generally toxic acid that kills everything it touches, or if it was specifically targeting the joint cells.
That's precisely why they did it. And the muscle cell response was incredibly telling. Out of thousands of genes monitored, the muscle cells only changed the expression of 3 genes when exposed to the fat's secretome.
Just 3 genes?
Just 3. The muscle cells basically just shrugged it off as background noise. They weren't equipped with the receptors to tune into that specific radio station.
But the joint cells were forced to listen, and they reacted violently.
Oh, very violently. The synovial fibroblasts, those capsule-lining cells, had a massive response. Depending on exactly which joint fat the fluid came from, the fibroblasts altered the expression of between 379 and 588 genes. They went into full-blown panic mode.
That is a huge reaction.
It gets worse. The reaction of the chondrocytes, the cartilage maintainers, was even more alarming. When bathed in the fat secretions, the chondrocytes experienced a severe state of ER stress.
ER stress, like an emergency room.
No. The ER is the endoplasmic reticulum. It is the cell's internal protein factory. It's responsible for taking raw amino acids and carefully folding them into the precise 3D shapes the cell needs to function.
Okay, so let's picture the chondrocyte as a literal factory assembly line.
Yes, perfect.
The workers are carefully folding proteins and sending them down the conveyor belt. But the chemical signals pouring in from the fat are speeding up the conveyor belt to an impossible rate.
Right.
The workers are scrambling, dropping parts everywhere, and churning out misshapen, unfolded proteins that just pile up on the factory floor.
That is literally what is happening. And the cell has sensors for that exact scenario. When the misshapen proteins pile up, it triggers the unfolded protein response.
Which sounds bad.
Well, initially, this is a protective mechanism. The factory management pulls the alarm, pauses the assembly line, and tries to clean up the mess. But the chemical broadcast from the fat is relentless. It never stops.
So the stress just keeps building.
Exactly. The ER stress becomes chronic. Eventually, the cell's internal logic dictates that the factory is unsalvageable.
And when a factory is unsalvageable, management shuts the whole building down and demolishes it.
Yeah.
In biology, that demolition is apoptosis, right? Programmed cell death.
Yes. The cartilage cells are literally being commanded by the chemical signals from the fat to commit suicide.
Wow.
And the researchers validated this mechanism beautifully. They didn't just rely on the complex mixture of the fat fluid. They isolated 2 of the loudest signals from that radio station, leptin and HGF, and they applied them directly to healthy, naive chondrocytes.
Did the pure hormones trigger the same destructive behavior?
They did. Treating the cartilage cells with leptin and HGF directly drove up the expression of several destructive genes, most notably MMP3.
MMP3.
MMP3 belongs to a family of enzymes called matrix metalloproteinases. They are molecular scissors. Their literal biological function is to chew up and degrade the structural collagen matrix of the cartilage.
So the fat secretes leptin, the leptin hits the cartilage cell, and the cartilage cell responds by releasing enzymes that destroy its own home.
Exactly.
The fat is weaponizing the cartilage against itself. That is a massive finding. But cartilage degradation is still, at its core, what we expect in osteoarthritis, right? The brake pads are still disappearing, even if the cause is chemical rather than mechanical.
Sure.
But here's where it gets really interesting, because the data showed something happening to the bone cells and the fibroblasts that completely redefines how we think about the pain of osteoarthritis.
Yes. This is perhaps the most paradigm-shifting finding in the entire multi-omic study. When the researchers analyzed the genetic shifts in the fibroblasts and the osteoblasts after exposure to the fat fluid, they didn't just see standard inflammatory markers.
What did they see?
They saw a massive, unexpected enrichment in neuroregulatory pathways.
Neuroregulatory, meaning nerves, the nervous system.
Right. The fibroblasts showed a highly significant enrichment for the synaptogenesis signaling pathway.
Wait, synaptogenesis?
Yeah, synaptogenesis is the biological creation of synapses, the microscopic junctions that allow nerve cells to communicate with each other.
Inside the knee joint.
Inside the knee joint. Mm-hmm. And the osteoblasts, the bone cells, showed enrichment for the myelination signaling pathway. Myelin is the protective insulating sheath that wraps around nerve fibers to speed up electrical transmission.
That's crazy.
They also saw the bone cells upregulating neuromodulatory factors like NRG1 and GABA.
Hold on. GABA is a major neurotransmitter in the brain. Why on earth are bone cells and joint lining cells suddenly acting like brain tissue? They are building synapses and laying down nerve insulation.
If we connect this to the bigger picture of the patient experience, the implications are profound. Osteoarthritis is, above all else, a disease of chronic debilitating pain.
Right.
Historically, the medical field has attributed that pain purely to the physical destruction of the joint. The cartilage wears away, the bones grind together, and it hurts. But this neurocrosstalk data suggests something far more insidious.
The inflamed fat isn't just degrading the cartilage, it appears to be actively laying down new electrical wiring.
Yes. By stimulating synaptogenesis and myelination pathways, the fat is coaxing the joint tissue to grow new nerve endings deeper into the joint, or hypersensitizing the existing ones.
It's building a new security system. The fat is providing the exact materials needed to grow new nerves and sensitize them.
Precisely. It is actively wiring the subchondral bone and the joint capsule to become incredibly sensitive to pain. The pain isn't just an accidental side effect of the friction. The pain infrastructure is being deliberately constructed by the chemical signals from the fat pad.
That fundamentally changes how you view a painful knee. And to build this new pain infrastructure, the researchers found completely novel regulators driving the process, right? Things we have never, ever linked to osteoarthritis before.
Yeah, they identified entirely novel regulators like AZGP1. AZGP1 is a protein typically studied in the context of lipid metabolism and cachexia.
What's cachexia?
Cachexia is the severe systemic weight loss and muscle wasting you see in chronic illnesses like cancer.
Oh, wow.
Finding it highly active in osteoarthritic tissue suggests the joint is mishandling lipids in ways we completely missed before. They also isolated CST5, which is a protease inhibitor, working the fibroblasts and bone cells.
So it's just a totally unrecognized environment down there.
Yeah. This adds a completely new layer to how we understand the complex balance of tissue building and tissue destruction inside the joint capsule.
It's like they discovered a whole new sub-basement to a house we thought we had fully mapped out. We thought it was just a mechanical room where the gears were wearing out. And it turns out there's a biochemical laboratory down there wiring the place to sound alarms and degrade the foundation.
That's exactly it, which fundamentally shifts the entire therapeutic landscape.
Yeah.
If you view osteoarthritis purely as a mechanical failure of a shock absorber, your only real definitive solution is a mechanical replacement. You wait for the joint to fail, and you put in a titanium knee.
You wait until the brake pads are totally gone, and then you take the car to the shop for a massive surgery.
Right. But if the primary driver of the destruction and the pain is this active, localized chemical warfare, then you suddenly have biochemical targets. You can intervene much, much earlier.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this home for you listening. This deep dive has taken us from the surface of your skin right down into the genetic code of the tiny fat pads living behind your kneecap.
A pretty wild journey.
Definitely. We've learned that this fat is not passive bubble wrap. It is a highly active hormone-secreting organ. It acts like a rogue radio station, broadcasting powerful inflammatory signals like leptin, IL-6, and dendritic cell recruiters right into the joint fluid.
And we saw how the joint reacts.
Yeah. Those signals cause the cells lining your joint to panic. They push your cartilage cells into a factory shutdown mode where they literally produce the enzymes to destroy themselves. And most shockingly, those chemical signals coax your bone and joint tissue to lay down new nerve wiring, building an infrastructure of pain.
It is a systemic level, highly coordinated biological response, localized entirely within the microcosm of a single joint.
But the ultimate takeaway here is actually one of immense hope. You cannot fix a machine if you fundamentally misunderstand how it works. By identifying these specific pathways, by knowing exactly which chemical signals the fat is broadcasting, scientists are finding entirely new therapeutic targets. The goal in the future isn't just to wait for the knee to crumble and surgically replace it. The future of treating osteoarthritis is about finding a targeted drug to meet that inflammatory radio station before the cartilage commits suicide and before the pain wiring gets installed.
This raises an important, lingering question that the researchers' data forces us to confront, though.
Oh, what's that?
Well, this study showed us clearly that the tiny fat pads inside the joint were vastly more inflamed, genetically altered, and destructive than the subcutaneous fat just an inch away under the skin. Now, we know that in general systemic obesity, it is primarily that subcutaneous and visceral fat that expands massively. So based on this new understanding, we have to ask, is the mechanical weight, the literal gravitational burden of systemic obesity pressing down on the jointless of a direct culprit for osteoarthritis, than the localized, invisible chemical warfare being waged by these very specific microscopic fat pads right inside your knees?
Man, that is a wild thought to chew on. Does the raw physics matter less than the localized chemistry? We will leave you to mull that one over on your next walk. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and as always, keep questioning the world around you.